Let me check first. Can y'all hear me back there well? Okay. I want to express my appreciation to this church, this congregation, this pastor, for your faithful support to us. I thank God for you, for the work He's given us, and for your faithfulness, prayers, and concern for us there in the Yucatan Peninsula. And it's a privilege to be here. It's a privilege to be here among you today. And it's a privilege to go forth and preach the gospel there in Yucatan. I'm thankful to the Lord for the ministry He's given us, the preaching of His word. He's put in clay lips the mysteries of the gospel, the riches of His mercy and grace. And I'm thankful that He's pleased to use men, sinners, saved by the grace of God, to proclaim the gospel. I won't take the time right now. I won't take the time. I know we're not having service, so if y'all want to ask any questions afterwards about the, I will say that the Lord is blessing. I believe the Lord is blessed. He's given us opportunities, a door, open doors. I said I wasn't going to say anything, and I'm saying open doors to preach the gospel there. I'm thankful for the different places where He's allowing us to have a hearing. God has His sheep. He has His people. And He sends a preacher of the gospel to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is in the gospel that His sheep see the wisdom and the power of God. They see how God can be just and justify sinners. That's the glory of God. God, who from before the foundation of the world, this is not my text, but I'm going to use it, Ephesians 1. God, who from the foundation of the world, before the foundation of the world, chose a people in Christ, chose a people, set His love on in Christ. We rejoice in the election of God. But you know, election is not salvation. Election is unto salvation. God, who chose a people in Christ, also set the means to their salvation. In time, He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He chose us. He chose us in Christ. He predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, not because He saw something good in the objects of His mercy, not because he saw faith, but because He would. He has mercy on whom He will have mercy. In time, God sent His Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. The law had a claim on us. The law had a claim on us. Sinners by nature, by choice, and by practice. And the holy law of God had a claim on us. God sent His Son into the world to redeem us from under the law, His people, those whom He chose. And He's made known this mystery to us by the gospel. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to the good pleasure of Him that worketh, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven or which are in earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard. after that you heard. But you didn't hear just anything. You heard the gospel of God. You see what I'm saying here? God chose a people. Christ redeemed a people. And in time, God sends His Word to these people. We don't know who they are. But God sends His Word. We were talking about Mephibosheth, fetching grace. God sends His Word, a preacher, across the path of one of those of God's elect to hear the gospel. They hear, in whom you trusted. After that you heard, you believed, you trusted. The word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of your inheritance, of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. I want us to see this morning. I want you to turn to the text I'm going to preach from this morning, Acts chapter 8. I want us to see, in time, God sending His gospel to one of His elect. God sending a preacher of the gospel to preach the gospel to one of God's elect. Verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. Philip had just spent some time in Samaria. If you read before this, you'll find that he was sent to Samaria, and he had been preaching the gospel there, and the Lord had blessed the word, had blessed this preaching of the gospel, and many were coming to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ in this time that Philip had gone to preach to them. And the apostles came down from Jerusalem to visit this place. And in the middle of this awakening, in the middle of this calling out of His people, the Spirit of the Lord sent Philip to another place, so that we wouldn't have gone. We would have wanted to stay right there. The Lord's blessing His Word. The Lord's blessing His Word right here. There's a preacher sent, and He's blessing His Word, but God has sheep out there in the desert. God has sheep out there in the desert. And He sends His preacher out to no man's land. Out to no man's land. A desert. He sends him out to a desert. Because God has His people of all kindreds, all nations, all tongues. He sends him out to a no man's land to preach the gospel to a man, to one man. Why did He send him out there? Because God has a sheep. He has a sheep. And He's going to cross the path of this sheep with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God sends this preacher out to a deserted land. I understand there were two roads going down from Jerusalem to Gaza. One was a well-traveled road. If you was going to run into anybody, you was going to go down that road. But this other road was through the desert. A treacherous road. But God sends His preacher on purpose down this road. Why? Because behold, there's a man. Now I want you to look here in verse 27. Philip obeyed this voice of the Lord that sent him, and says, behold, he rose and he went. He went to preach the gospel. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, and was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. I want us to pause there for a minute. I want to make some comments about this man. Behold,
Behold, a man of Ethiopia. And behold, in this man of Ethiopia, I want us to behold the grace of God that would go after this man of Ethiopia. Behold, this man of Ethiopia. Behold the grace of God that would send his son into the world after a sinner such as I. Behold the grace of God. This man of Ethiopia didn't deserve the gospel sent to him. No man deserves the mercy and grace of God. Behold the grace of God that would send. It's the grace of God. It's the grace of God that the mercy of God that we have His Word, a preacher here preaching the gospel. Behold the grace of God. Behold the wisdom of God. Behold the wisdom of God and behold the providence of God. Behold the wisdom of God. Think about this for a moment. This man was an Ethiopian who had been to Jerusalem, it says, to worship. What does that make him? He was a proselyte. He was a proselyte. You know what our Lord said about proselytes that the Jews made? He said, you could look at it there in Matthew, but he said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, you compass sea and land to make a proselyte, and when you found him, you make him two times the child of hell." Two times. That's who this man was, a religious man. A religious man. A sinner. A religious man. I see the grace of God that would go after this man. The grace of God that would go after sinners such as we are. Sinners such as we are. Behold the wisdom of God. Behold the wisdom of God. And taking this man aside to preach the gospel to him. He had been in Jerusalem. The apostles were there. The apostles were there in Jerusalem. Could they not have preached the gospel to him? Could they not have preached the gospel to him? Yes, they could have. But I see the wisdom in God in separating this man who no doubt was eager to please these Jewish religious leaders. No doubt he heard perhaps the message that Peter preached. The message that Peter preached. And he was perhaps one of those that were taking Peter and the apostles to the jail. He was zealous. He had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Behold, the wisdom of God that would take this man aside. Take this man aside of the religious surroundings. Behold, he had gone there to worship. I see the grace of God. I see the wisdom of God. I see something else here. This man had a thirst. This man had a thirst. He had gone there to worship. He had gone there to worship. But I don't see a lot of other people going to worship. This man had a thirst created in him. This man had a thirst. He had gone there to worship, and he was coming back. He had gone there thirsty, and he was coming back thirsty. But there was an interest. He was reading the book of Isaiah. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. He was interested. Our Lord Jesus Christ gave parable of the sower. Do you remember the parable of the sower? Went out to sow the seed, the word of God, and it fell. There was four types of ground. There was that stony ground here, that one that is hard because of the thoughts of his own imagination, his own thoughts about God, his own thoughts about how he may approach God. That's stony ground. And then there's other hears that are fallow ground. I'm sorry, that's fallow ground hears. Then there's stony ground hears. And then there's thorn hears. The cares of this world choke out the word. But amazing grace. There was one that was a good ground here. A good ground here. This is the grace of God going before the grace of God revealed to this man. Grace before grace. Prevenient grace. Grace before grace that would go and prepare the heart of this man to receive the Word. God the Holy Spirit goes before and prepares the heart of a man, breaks up that hard ground, removes the rocks, takes those weeds away. So when the gospel is planted, it brings forth fruit. I see the grace of God going before the grace of God. He had a thirst. He had an interest. We would love to see this building full, that everyone would come and have an interest. He had gone to Jerusalem to worship, but he was coming back thirsty. He did not know the true living God. He had gone there, he had gone to religion, the ceremonies, and they cannot satisfy. Religion without Christ is dead. Cannot satisfy. He still had a thirst. He still had a hunger. Well, let's read on. I see the grace of God. I see the wisdom of God. I see the providence of God that would work all things to bring this man and Philip together. The providence of God. I like to use this when I preach this message in Mexico. I use the word probability. Then I had to explain what probability was. So it's what is the likelihood of an American coming to this village in San Pedro? How many Americans do you see? What is the likelihood that our paths should cross? What is the likelihood? It's the providence of God. Are you here this morning and you don't know why you're here? It's the providence of God you're here. Have you heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and you really don't? God's providence led a preacher to cross your path with the gospel. It's the providence of God. He works all things after the counsel of His own will. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to His purpose, even before. He causes all things. All things. Well, this man was returning, sitting in his chariot, and he read Isaiah the prophet, verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto him, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, "Understandest that thou readest." Do you understand? Do you understand? This man was not a dummy. They're not a dummy. But man who is wise in the things of this world does not have understanding when it comes to the things of God. Does not have understanding. Do you understand? Faith is the gift of God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But faith does not come to a man apart from the understanding. Bypassing the understanding, Paul said, "I know whom I believe. I know. I know." Look at 1 John 5:20. Do you understand? Well, there's a lot of things I don't understand. There's a lot of things I don't understand. A lot of things I'm still learning. But this I know. I understand this. I understand. Look at this. Verse 20. 1 John 5:20. "And we know that the Son of God has come." I understand. That the Son of God has come. "And has given us an understanding that we may know Him." That we may know who he is, what he came to do, why he did it. Was he successful? Where is he right now? We know him that is true, and that we're in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. We know that when he died, we understand that what he did for us as our substitute. We understand. This is the true God and life eternal. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Do you understand what you're reading? A person could pick up this book and read, and without the Spirit of God revealing the Lord Jesus Christ, his person, his work, all you get is how to dress, recipes on what to eat and what not to eat. Rules, rules, rules. You said it earlier, it's a hymn book. It's a hymn book. Do you understand that thou readest? Now this man answered and said, how can I except some man should guide me? How can I except some man should guide me? If a man is going to call upon God, he's going to know who he's calling upon. If a man is going to call, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How are they going to call on the name of the Lord, Jehovah, my righteousness, except they know he's Jehovah, my righteousness? How are they going to trust him as my substitute unless you know? How are you going to trust him as your shepherd unless you know that he's the shepherd of his sheep? They're going to call upon him and his person and his character, his work. How can I know? How can I except some man should guide me? When you come to hear the Word of God, you hear it through clay lips. Is that not right? Clay lips. But Apostle Paul said this, I thank God for you, brethren, that when you heard the Word of truth, as it is the Word of truth, you heard it not as the Word of man. You heard it as it is in truth, the Word of God. That Word of God that works in you. The Word of God. How can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he should come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb to the dumb before his shearers, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet? Of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Of whom speaketh? Now I want to pause here for a second. It is the job of a preacher called of God to take the scriptures, and no matter where we are in the scriptures, to preach Christ. To preach Christ. And so this is what Philip did. He's a preacher, son of God, and he takes from that very scripture and he preaches Jesus. He preaches Jesus. Who he is, what he came to do, where he is right now. He takes that same passage. That's our job. Isn't that right? That's our job. Preach the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter where we are in the scriptures, find the road to the Lord Jesus Christ, him crucified, his glory, and get on it. Get on it right away. But I want you to look at something this man said. He said, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? He knew that the prophet was speaking of a man, didn't he? He knew that the prophet was speaking of a man. Let's look over here in Isaiah. That's what he was reading. He had the book of Isaiah. he had the book of Isaiah, and he was reading. It was Isaiah. He was in that portion of the scripture that's Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. The scripture there in Acts says, Philip opened his mouth and preached from that same text, Jesus. The eunuch knew he was talking about a man, and takes this scripture and reveals, shows to him that this man is Jehovah manifest in the flesh. Very first thing you want to see. Very first thing. Starts out, who hath believed our report? This is the cry of all the preachers of God. Who hath believed our report? Our report is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's His gospel. It's His testimony. It's His testimony of Christ. Look at Romans chapter 1. Keep your place there. Look at Romans chapter 1. This is the gospel of God concerning His Son. It's the gospel of God. And so, one of the things that what we must continue to press upon man, to press upon man, is if you do not believe this gospel, my gospel, my report, this report, you're not believing God. You're not believing God. Because this is the gospel of God. This is God's report. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. This is God's word. This is God's testimony concerning His Son, which He had promised afore by His prophets in the Holy Scriptures. That's what we're reading in Isaiah 53. We're going to see how He was foretold, He was promised in the Scriptures, the Old Testament, concerning His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. And this is what Philip is telling this man. This is the first point. This man, you see that he's a man. The first thing I want you to know, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He is Jehovah manifest in the flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He is God manifest in the flesh. And this is a revelation. This is a revelation. This is a revelation. Our Lord said to His disciples, whom do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And He said, blessed are you, Simon, Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. It wasn't because you were smarter, you had more aptitude. Flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you, but my Father revealed it. It's a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. But look at this. He is the arm of Jehovah. He is the arm of Jehovah. He is God's arm, by whom God would redeem His people. It is the power, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. But I want you to know something else. He is Jehovah manifest in the flesh. And that's why we see here in verse 2, He shall grow up. He shall grow up before Him as a tender plant. He is the eternal God, the everlasting God. See Him there as an infinite day, growing up. He shall grow up before Him as a tender plant, very fragile, very slow in beginning. There, see Him there at Mary's breast. A tender plant. I don't know of anything more helpless than a baby. But He's Jehovah. He's the arm of the Lord. And He's going to grow up. He's going to grow up before God the Father. He's going to grow up before God the Father. And God the Father is going to say, I'm well pleased. He's going to grow up. In his growing up, the Father gave him a work to do. I must be about my Father's business when he was just 12 years old. He was about his Father's business from the cradle. To establish that righteousness that his people must have to be in the presence of God. He shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. A root out of a dry ground. He's of the seed of David. But David, when he was on the earth, his house was like a big oak tree. Strong. King David. But see him now, the seed of the woman, Mary, a virgin. We spoke of that earth. The first promise of the Messiah, the seed of the woman. See him now come through the seed of the woman, direct descendant of David. But what has happened to David's house? It's a root out of a dry ground. It's a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He wasn't born in a palace with all the fine things, fine clothes. There was no one looked at him, and when they looked at him, they said, "He's just a man. He's just a man." It's not his mother with us and his brothers and his sisters. They saw no beauty in him. There's no beauty that they should desire him. There's no comeliness. He is despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. You look at verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs. Surely he has borne our griefs. We forfeited all privileges, all rights, and our father Adam. When Adam disobeyed God, we lost everything. And so as our representative, he is a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was bearing our sorrow, bearing our grief. We did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He had just heard in Jerusalem that this man, Jesus, was an imposter. This man, Jesus, was an imposter. But I want you to know he died as a substitute. This is, if nothing else, if you get nothing else from this message, get this. He died as a substitute for his people. He was wounded for our transgressions. The word there, our, is speaking of the sheep. The sheep. Those for whom Christ died. Those whom the Father gave him. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we're healed. It's through his blood, his precious blood, that we have forgiveness of sin. It's through his precious blood. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. We spoke of this earlier in the Bible class. He was guilty. He was guilty. God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. And so when he was charged, that's why he didn't open his mouth. That's why he didn't open his mouth. If someone accuses you of something you didn't do, the very first thing you're going to do is say, "I didn't do it." You want to defend yourself. It comes out, isn't it so? Someone accuses you of something you didn't do. First thing you want to say is, "I didn't do it." But he did not open his mouth because the sins of his people were laid on him. Imputation. He was charged with the sins of his people. So he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. This mock trial that you just got through hearing about in Jerusalem, that's what it was. It was a mock trial. They took him out and they violated their own laws. They brought up false accusers of him. They hated him. They hated him. And they took him by wicked hand, nailed and crucified. Lord of glory. But he was done this for the transgression of his people. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off of the land of the living. You see what Philip is doing here. I'm going to take a little break here. We're going to go back. This is so full. What Philip is doing here, you know, preaching the gospel is not preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that? It's preaching how that he died. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. A man can preach Jesus died. And we, it's all over this world. All over this world. Jesus died. Jesus was buried. Jesus was raised again. But that is not the gospel. That is not the gospel. A man has got to know who Christ is. He's got to know. If he's going to call upon the name of the Lord, he's got to know that he has power to save. He's not going to call on somebody that is trying to do something and is going to wait for you to give him the opportunity. You're not going to call on someone that's trying to do something. You see what I'm saying? For I delivered, verse 3, the Apostle Paul says, I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received. I'm looking for, this is verse 1. I started too late down there. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. That's what I want to stop right there for. I declare unto you the gospel, the good news, the testimony of God, the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory that which I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you the gospel first of all. Unto you first of all, that's which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. You see that? How? Who he was. How that Christ died. He is God manifest in the flesh. The law was put upon man. Man must obey that law. And God cannot die, but the God-man both can die and satisfy God's law. But this is so important, how that Christ died for our sins. That's substitution. That's the gospel. For our sins, according to the Scriptures. Now, Philip did not take, when the eunuch, when he started preaching, I'm having a little difficulty. My tongue is getting tired. Bear with me. Philip did not start speaking off the top of his head. Do you know what I'm saying? He did not start speaking of Jesus of Nazareth. He used the Scripture to point out how Christ is the fulfillment. Jesus of Nazareth is the fulfillment of Isaiah 53. God uses His Word. God uses His Word. Doesn't use what we say about it. Doesn't use what we say about it. He uses His Word. And so when we preach the gospel, we want to be sure that you understand that what I'm saying is not my word, it's His Word. because that's the power of God in deception. It is His work. How did He die for our sins, according to the Scriptures? And how that He was buried and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures? Now, this is what Philip is doing. This is what Philip is doing. He's taking that same passage that this man, he didn't have understanding. The light of the glory of God, the knowledge of the glory of God and the face of Jesus Christ had not shined in his heart. Well, how is it going to shine? Preach the gospel. Preach the word. Preach the word. Let's go back to Isaiah 53. This is what Philip is doing. How this Jesus of Nazareth, that man, is none other than the fulfillment of this. He's the fulfillment of all the Scriptures. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. I want you to know it was for our sins. It was for our, there was no sin in him. He knew he is the Holy One of Israel, separate from sinners. He knew no sin. He was made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He was made sin, but he did no violence. He knew no sin. No thought, no imagination. The Holy One of Israel. The Holy One. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. This is so important. This is so important. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. There is no salvation apart from the death, the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to put away sin. See, God must be just when He declares a sinner justified. And the only way God can be pleased is in the death of His Son. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. If He's going to have anybody up there in glory with Him, it's going to be through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross was the most awful sin, an awful death that anybody could ever dream of. Death on the cross. But that was not the agony, the greatest agony of the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest agony was the soul agony. Separation from God. That's what your sins and my sins deserve. Eternal hell. Separated from God. That's what we deserve by our actions. By our own sin. By our own sin. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. The soul of his sufferings was his soul suffering. You spoke earlier, Paul, about when he was in Gethsemane praying, and his soul recoiled at the very thought of being made sin. For his body was, an angel came and ministered to him, or he would have died. You know, you could only got so much blood, and you start bleeding out through your pores. It wasn't his hour. He was upheld by God. We can't imagine that. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall see Christ. He shall see. He shall provide his seed. He is Jehovah. He is Jehovah Jireh. Jireh. The Lord that provides. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his day, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He does abide forever. He does abide forever. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prolong. The pleasure of the Lord is that one day, he's going to have all his children just like him, dressed in his righteousness. He's going to say, "Here am I and the children which thou hast given." The pleasure of the Lord. It pleased the Lord, right? It pleased the Lord. He's going to have all his children, and it's going to prosper in his hand. Not one of them for whom he died shall be lost. I'll draw all men. I'll draw all to me. That's what he's saying. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper. He's not a failure. Not a failure. Those people who preach another gospel, another Jesus, who say that he died for some who are in hell. Blasphemous doctrine. This word knows nothing of a Jesus who's trying to do something. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. A woman, when she's given birth, cannot be satisfied, will not be satisfied if after all that labor, the baby is stillborn. Can anyone imagine that God would get glory forever and ever if one for whom he died should not be there? No. He shall see of the fruit of the travail of his soul, that for which he died, and he's going to say, "Here am I, and all the children which thou hast given me, not one for whom he died shall be lost." He's going to be satisfied. He is satisfied, and he shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. By his knowledge, by the knowledge he had, his perfect knowledge of the will of the law of God. He came into this world to fulfill that law. Think not that I've come to destroy the law and the prophets. I didn't come to destroy. I came to fulfill. God's law must be honored. God's law, when he receives a sinner, it's got to be in accordance to strict justice. It's got to be honoring to his holy law. His justice has got to be satisfied. I want you to think back here when it says, he shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. He shall see. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. God's justice is satisfied. God's justice cried out, "Enough. I have enough." The reason hell is forever, separated from God forever, is because God's justice never cries, "Enough. I have enough for the sin." One sin against God, the infinite, holy God, is enough to damn us forever in hell, forever. What of all the sin? Our sins we're drowning. When all the sins of all his people from all time were laid on him, he was made sin. And he went to the cross, God's justice cried, "Enough. I have enough." Go preach the gospel to every creature. Comfort my people. Tell them they've received double for all their sins. I have enough. He's pleased. He's pleased. His justice is satisfying. His holy law is awesome, magnifying. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. The basis of his intercession is his doing and dying on the cross. Therefore will I divide with him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that he is Christ, that he is the Lord, to the praise of God the Father. I want you to know that when he went to the cross, he died as a substitute. He died a shameful death. But be this known to all the house of Israel, that same Jesus who you Christ crucified, God raised him from the dead. God has seated him on the right hand of the Father, and he's made him Lord and Christ. He's made him Lord and Christ. Oh, preach the gospel. It's him. Preach him. His work. And, you know, as they went along, Philip was preaching Christ through Isaiah. Look back over here in Acts again. Acts chapter 8. Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. It says he preached unto him Jesus. That same Jesus of Nazareth. You'll look back in the first chapters of Acts. You'll see that was the message of the apostles. That same Jesus whom you crucified, God has made him Lord in Christ. God vindicated him. God justified him. Everything he said, God said, that's true. That's true. Raising from the dead. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, Philip wasn't beating him over the head. Philip was preaching, was proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ. He used this text and showed how this is Christ. This is Christ. And he wasn't beating him over the head. And he said, no doubt, he told him, I saw him when he was ascended. He said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and preach this gospel. Tell them. They've received double for all their sins. Tell them. Comfort my people. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And they were going along, and a miracle happened. Every time someone believes this word, a miracle. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. He's also believed on in the world. The Spirit of God quickened this man, and he believed. And he wanted to confess. That's what he was saying. What doth hinder me to be baptized? That's what he's saying. I want to confess. I want to confess. But I want you to look at this. Here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. If you believe with all your heart. Earlier, you know, Philip had said, do you understand? Earlier, Philip had said, do you understand? But now he's not saying, do you understand? You see, faith is not a head thing. Faith is not a head thing. Faith is a heart. Heart matter. It's a heart issue. With a heart, man believes in the righteousness. And with a mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Do you believe with all your heart? Do you believe? If you believe, you're born. It's because you've been born of God. As many as received him, to them gave you the power. You weren't born of flesh and blood, the will of man. But if you believe, because you've been born of God, a new heart, a heart to believe God. If you believe with all your heart, thou mayest. He didn't give him a meeting with the deacon. We've got to have a meeting with the apostles and see whether or not. No, this is the requirement. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe? You know, the eunuch, he didn't answer, I believe Jesus. No. You know, earlier he said, do you understand? Do you understand what you're reading? We see here in his response, he understands. We see in his response, he understands. I believe that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus Christ is not his name, that's his office, who he is. I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I believe he is the prophet sent of God to reveal God. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten of the Father, which is in the bosom of the Father, he is holy man. I believe he is the one that Moses said that God would send, a prophet, that would his word would be in his mouth. Woe unto him that doesn't hear him. I believe he is the prophet. I don't know anything apart from God except Jesus Christ. Don't know anything of God. It's impossible to know God apart from knowing him in the person and work of Jesus Christ. I believe that he's the priest ordained of God to offer the acceptable sacrifice for my sin. He is the priest that offered that sin sacrifice, his own body on the tree. I believe that he is the priest of God. And I believe God made him king. I believe he's the king. He's my Lord. He's my Lord. I believe this. I believe he's Jehovah manifest in the flesh. He had some understanding, didn't he? But he didn't say, I understand this. He said, I believe it. He didn't say, I understand this. I believe it. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he was baptized. He baptized him. We see here the mode of baptism. It pictures a death, a burial, and a resurrection. That's not just a little bit of dirt. It's not just a little bit of dirt we see somebody sprinkle on the casket. They put him under. And so a person that is baptized is confessing that when Christ died, I died. When Christ was buried, I was buried. And when Christ rose again, I raise again. I'm seated in him. I'm waiting. I believe. And they woke, went down, and he baptized him. And when he has come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, and preached all the cities till he came to Caesarea. I want you to notice this. This man, this eunuch, had come to the feast hungry and had not seen Christ. He was going away hungry. He was looking in the scriptures, but now he had a reason to rejoice. He went on his way rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord always. May the Lord bless you.
Number 67, I believe, is the number. Number 67, Jerry. Let's stand as we sing. Get to the last verse, Brother Cody, if you'll go back to the back door and greet people as they leave.